त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिभिः सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ईशावास्यमिदं सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगत्यं जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः माग्रदः कस्य स्विद्धनम् So, we've been going over these two verses that are discussing about the sthita prajna. What is the person who has this knowledge? What is this person like? As in the Gita, we have whole extensive section on it, and actually there are a lot of scholars that do say that the Bhagavad Gita is an expansion on Ishavasya Upanishad like this. In any case, Ishavasya Upanishad does give the crux of what Vedanta is about. It also gives small overview of karma, of karma yoga like this. So you could say other texts that touch on it, they will be expansion on this in any case, because this does give the core. But as we've seen, it gives in very, very much in core, like in sutra form, very, very condensed. That's why so much more needs to be talked about in order to fill it, to fill the gaps like this. Whereas some, if you've come to other classes, like Kathopanishad spells everything out. So Kathopanishad is like very similar to Gita in many ways, the Vedantic portions of the Gita. And actually some of the Gita, a few verses come word for word are very close to Kathopanishad, actually, because the Gita is taking a lot of the Upanishadic teachings, whether metaphor, you know, the ideas or even directly. But in any case, this verse that we started discussing last time is number 7, which is saying, let's chant it pada by pada. Yasmin sarvani bhutani Atmaiva bhud vijanataha Tatra ko moha kashokaha Ekatvam anupashyataha. So very similar to the verse before. When the wise person recognizes all beings as non-separate from the Atma, how can this person be deluded? What grief is there for one who sees oneness everywhere? So one of the things we discussed last time is about this, some pointers about this recognition. It's actually called Sarvatma Bhava. Sarvatma Bhava meaning seeing Atma is everything. Everything is Atma. That the one is manifest as everything. That there isn't a separation. So we are giving some nice pointers about this. And one of the pointers was a very good place to start to see this is at the prana level, at the energy level. Because on the physical level, Panchakosha Viveka, when you go through that, which actually we'll be doing in the very soon in our Thursday class, this one points out from the physical level, but it's not as obvious at first. But from the pranic level, it's much easier to see. Much easier to see. Yes, I'm breathing. Am I making myself breathe? No. You know, people will say, "Well, your subconscious mind is." But the subconscious mind isn't something you consciously do. Meaning, the nature is doing it, right? What is nature? It's the shakti. Doesn't belong to me. It's universal, so it has to belong to Ishvara. It doesn't belong to me. So if that's one thing, first of all. So I can see that just as I plant different seeds, they all germinate. Different plants, different bulbs. And it's all nature's doing, meaning there's something larger behind it, one phenomena behind it. Same, we're all breathing. There's one phenomena behind it. So nature is behind that. So the interesting thing, that which is enlivening me is something that is, you know, everywhere in all beings, not just in me. It's not a separate thing like this. Now there's going to be some problems. Satellite is down, internet is down. Well, all, you know, none of us can get onto Zoom. It's not that I'll be able to and you can't, right? Like this, because we're all connected to the same internet. The electricity is down. Everybody's house is going to be dark, not just... what happens is that's one of the first things you do. Here we don't have to do it as much once a year. Well, now a little bit more in California. But if you go to India, as you all know, then there the electricity goes out. If it didn't go out today, it was a good sign. A lucky day. But it goes out. You look outside to see if you don't see lights, you know, okay, it's everywhere. It's not just something happened in my house. Because the one electricity behind. And then what happens also is a very interesting thing about just with the breathing. This breathing, so many things can be used for it. Such a wonderful phenomena that we can use for analyzing and experiencing different things. So when I observe the breath, this point Swami Tattvedanandaji brought up, which I found phenomenal for meditation, is that you see behind the breath, you're seeing two things. As Sakshi, when you observe it, you see, okay, I'm breathing, and that's me, the individual. So some limited thing. But what is coming in and out, what is around, the air itself is not a limited thing. It's formless and, you know, from our perspective, as good as unlimited. So it's like the meeting of limited and unlimited. Kind of like when you see the ocean, right? You're standing on the shore. You see the shore is this big, but the ocean, where is it? Where's the limitation? And you see both. So when you're watching the breath, you're watching both, unlimited there and the limited. And the interesting thing, you're observing both, right? It's not I'm observing just the formless breath, the formless air, but I'm observing the phenomena of the breath, which I feel sensation. And I'm also observing the formless infinite like this. Very interesting. So you're a sakshi of both of them. This is a very interesting thing. So if you keep observing, first of all, you less identify with the limited part. But also, slowly, slowly, you know, the differences get blurred. You don't feel there's a form or a name or anything. Very easy, just by watching breath. And so where is the limited? Where does one start? Where does one end? Like this. One point about that, which actually I looked into a long time ago, we used to have given some talks, is an interesting thing about that. One other point you can take on this is that you say, okay, there is the infinite prana in the form of air around me, all around, all pervading. And there's me, the individual, and the breath is coming in. Means there's some connection between the two. There's a border between myself in the, you know, like I'm breathing. So there's something I can feel in the breath and there's the infinite air. There's a border between the two. Because two separate things, there needs to be a border. So, okay, there's a border. Find the border. If you look for any border, you look for that, you look closer and closer, it as though it dissolves because you can never really find a demarcation between two things. Because there's no real demarcation between things. If you look close enough, you won't find separateness. Try this sometime. you sit to meditate or you do shavasana, you do that same thing, but look at the border of the body. My body ends here and the space starts there. Okay. You can feel the perimeter of the body and you just stay with it. You look closer and closer. If you look close, you can't find the exact point where one ends and one starts. If you look closer and closer, it gets blurred. Very similar to, you know, the idea of looking closer an object. Closer and closer, you look less form, it has less separation. So if you really look closely, where's the separation? So in this way, the separation is what is an appearance. An appearance, something under certain conditions, it looks like that. Under other conditions, only certain conditions. So under certain conditions, I look as like this limited individual, but other conditions not. So meaning it's a conditional thing. This is what it is. So this is where some points about from what we talked last time, elaborate on them. And these are very, very nice things to look at, because am I, you know, then somebody will say, am I an limited individual which has some experiences of where I forget my limitation? Or am I the unlimited one that, you know, that just temporarily experiences this limited idea like this? And Vedanta says, you know, it's the latter one. The form one doesn't make sense like this. But the thing is, since I'm so conditioned to see it the other way, that's why one has to, you know, look into it closely. And what happens is, my little experience with it is, yes, you can see that some of the time, but just like now, cloudy, you forget. You very easily, because out of habit, you very easily forget. The other habits come and grab you, and you forget for a while. Like, you know, especially if you're studying it regularly every day, you remember morning you study nicely or this, or you have some insights. But then other things come up and totally cover and you forget. And then you say, how could I be doing such nonsense? How could I be caught up in this stuff like this? And but slowly, we shave away at it like this. So, so in any case, let's look a little bit more what he was saying here. So one of the points that's brought up also in the commentaries here is also that we hear about the person sees it like this, and we say, how's that possible? But the question is, how much do I really look within? How much am I really inquiring behind? Because it's there. Myself as the conscious being is there in and behind everything. But what happens is, you know, we talk about upasana. And upasana, I take something and I just bring my attention to it and stay with it. So it becomes more, the mind gets molded more into that. But the upasana that I do most of the time, upasana is of myself as this formful being. This is, you know, because somebody does upasana to become the great athlete or to become, you know, to be successful in a certain, to know some sort of topic real well, to be successful, whether in studies or business or things like this, because that's putting the attention in. So it's what really is my mind going into, molding into. So I'm doing it about this individual being. How much am I doing it for the other, like this, for looking at like this? So it's something that one really needs to keep looking into and then slow and really trying to face it. Because what happens is, just to turn around, face myself, who this really is here, one thing is we're too caught up in the other part of myself, the limited being, in order to look into. And then also, how do I do it? You know, okay, how to do. And then this is actually a true thing. So my Paramarthanandaji is told about cases, people that have done meditation for years, they come to him. I'm meditating 15 years and my mind can be totally quiet, but still, it's just nothingness. Then what? I don't understand. Where can I go from there? So he said, okay, very good. So I'll help you come to class. But the person says, no, I'm meditating all these years. They don't want to come and do that. They say, how can it be? And what happens though is, it has to be pointed out in different ways. So if for 10, 15 years I tried one thing and it didn't totally do it, you know, I should be smart enough to say, okay, maybe I learned a lot from that. It's not that it's wasted, but maybe that's not taking me all the way. Let me really look some other way like this. And Vedanta says that's not going to do, because if you're trying to experience something, that won't do it. Because you can't not but be experiencing yourself as the awareful being, so it's a viveka is what's needed. It's not new material, but to understand the material you have right there. This is what happens. And when we study Panchakosha Viveka, exactly that exact point, exactly that point is brought up. Okay, drop all the koshas now. Okay, now I must be there. But then nothingness. Somebody will say, how come one of the Purvapakshi question comes up? Well, I do that and I see nothingness. Well, who's seeing nothingness? You're the same one seeing the nothingness as you that saw the koshas like this. So it's a matter of clarity like this, what we want. Now what happens? So this one sees, the Mahatma sees like this, the one, and in the previous verse it said Anupashyati. We said Anupashyati, so sees according to this, uses this angle of vision. This angle of vision then can see it, because you have to look from the right angle to see something. I look from the angle of, you know, I, this individual, want to get to the infinite. That doesn't work. I have to change the angle of vision like this. In the Divya Chakshu, given in chapter 11, I believe, Gita, where Krishna says you need to see from a different angle, you need the eye of wisdom. So this eye, according to what the Shruti is saying. So this one, there's this question here, rhetorical question. It's not a question that we need to answer. Kaha moha, kaha shokaha. How will this one have moha, have delusion? How will this person have grief? How will this person be depressed? How will this person have dukkham? How can that be? That sees like this, right? Ekatvam anupashyataha, that sees just the oneness. Because the one thing about this then is this vision then is a nice way, that's a nice explanation given to it, is this thing, praptasya praptihi. This black one also is not so great. Get a different one. Praptasya praptihi. So it's praptasya praptihi. Meaning obtained what has already been obtained. Puranavada, Puranavidam, same thing. Obtained, what's obtained? What are you talking about? So what happens is, the nice example we like to give is that when we're having classes in person here, a lot of times I'd have the thread around this around my neck. But now that I have these other gloves sitting here, I can put them here. And I can say, okay, we're going to read the next verse. Oh, it's kind of blurry. Where are my glasses, right? So what happens is, I don't need to get glasses. The moment you point out, okay, Janan, look, I think you left them on your head. I'll feel it. The moment I feel, oh, yeah, yeah. The moment you point it out, there's no action for me to get the glasses. They're there. I don't need to do anything in order to get them like this. Now I know where they are in this way. So the praptasya prapti, obtaining what's already obtained. Praptasya apraptihi, if I put an a before, apraptihi, obtaining what hasn't been obtained. If I obtain that, meaning if it came at some point in time, meaning it's conditional, meaning at some point in time it may also go. This is what happens. So, for instance, this is there was somebody many, many years was at our Shivananda Center in New York, many years there, serving and everything. Once asked me then, when I was in charge of the center there, he said, you know, I meditate so many years and I always see this light when I meditate. But now lately I don't see the light. So what should I do? Like this. So what happens then is, if you meditate and meditating, you'll see light. Very nice. Now, is there a guarantee you'll always see light when you meditate? No. Anything obtained, then tomorrow, you know, it's gone. A lot of people that are very successful in something, once that success goes, then they feel empty because they're dependent on that. They're, you know, here it's famous in the West here in Hollywood, right? People that are famous and then afterwards not, then they get depressed. Or they already have the fame, now what? So then, or sports people that are very top sports people, very famous, then when that career is over, now what? Who am I? So in this way, also anything I gain, there's no guarantee. If you gain something, it's karma palam. So it's a fruit. And some fruits are like bananas. They'll sit there for a week and then they go bad, right? Some fruits maybe are like an apple you can keep in the fridge for months on end. But still, after a certain amount of time, it will also go bad. So it's also gone. So here, it's if finding Atma, if moksha is something in a certain place, time, conditional, meaning, it will go. So that's the whole idea. If you go to some sort of heaven, wonderful. But after some time, right, when the accumulated merit, the punya is finished, used up, then, you know, time to pack up and leave there like this. So that's what's said. This isn't that type of thing. So how will this person have moha, delusion? Because delusion, meaning, what is delusion? Avidya, ignorance. Avidya is, that is what's keeping between me and knowing myself. Like this, this is once I know, there's no question about it. Our friend the snake, right? You know, we made a good friends with the snake and the rope during this, when we study Vedanta. So our friend the snake, once we turn on the light and see, know what it is. Tomorrow I'll step outside. I was too lazy. I left the rope there, right? I didn't move it. Will I get afraid again, think it's a snake? I won't. A friend of mine might, because my friend didn't see it. But I've seen it. I have no question that it, you know, say, well, yeah, it really looked like a rope. How about that? Like a snake. It was, you know, it was very, you know, I could be totally convincing. I can think like this. But I'll never confuse it again for it, because I know, I have no question about it, like this. So once somebody knows, they know it, there's no question. And so the problem is the avidya, this ignorance is what's covering it. This is the moha. And moha actually is the delusional being, because not of complete avidya, but partial avidya. Partial ignorance causes the problem. You know, here's partial ignorance, how it causes the problem. Somebody goes to their friend's house, right? Everybody got COVID shots, they're very happy. They go to celebrate. They go to the friend's house the other side in another town. They go out there and they have a party and they drink. So they get, you know, they drink some alcohol. Now, if they drink enough alcohol, you know, depending on their capacity, I don't know how it works, as you know, I don't drink any alcohol, but let's say if somebody drinks enough, then they will just be too tired. They're going to fall asleep on the sofa there, and, you know, morning the friend will give them some coffee or something, and they'll go their way afterwards. But if they drank a certain amount and they're still conscious, they can drive home, which is dangerous because now they're impaired. They won't see clearly, and there are unfortunately many very bad accidents because of this. Because they're aware, but it's impaired, right? So there is partial knowledge. It's partially covered. That's the problem that we have. I know I'm a conscious being, but it's covered, and so I don't see it clearly, like the snake I couldn't see, the rope I couldn't see clearly. And then I jump to conclusion, like this. Somehow our conclusions we jump to, it's maybe a preservation thing left from our living in the nature. When I see the rope, I don't think, oh, that might be a little stream of water. Maybe there's a leak of water somewhere. Oh, somebody must have brought me a nice mala, a nice thing to give me flowers because they appreciate me very much. They must have just fallen, you know, somehow accidentally fallen on the ground. No, I'm going to think it's a snake. It's dangerous. Interesting. But so the thing is, I jump to conclusions, something else. So I see myself, I'm an awareful being. It's not clear. So I jump to a conclusion that I'm this much, this limited one. And with these with the problems of this brother, the problems of this, I'm that one. That's what I take myself to be. And then shoka comes, grief comes, and dukkha come, and all the other things connected with that come because they belong to the upadhi. I identify with the upadhi, so then I identify with that. It's projected, all those things, because there's avarana shakti, covers. And then when it's partially covered, then there's projection. I project the whole idea afterwards, so I project the rope. So again, the other example we had driving, I'm fully clear, no problem. I'm alert, no problem in this. I'm too tired, I fall asleep, I can't drive, no problem. But when I'm impaired like this, I can't see clearly. So problem. So it's this way also, with me, a problem that I don't see it clearly. So this person who sees that, one in everything, how will there be, where will the moha come from that? There can't be, since there isn't any delusion, no avidya. How can the projection of something else come? Can't. Now, that person is going to experience the same world. Let's say now, you know, let's say today at 9:37 a.m. right now, I see, oh, I'm just this atma. I'm not this, right? Now, if I'm aware of this, then at that point in time, then what happens is, how do I say from that? Then still when I look outside, it'll still look cloudy, right? If I have a back pain, the back is going to still hurt, right? If I use too much electricity and gas because I'm home all the time and it's cold and this and this, I'm going to still have to pay that money to PG&E. If I didn't pay at the end of the month, they're going to send a notice and say you have to pay an extra $50 fine. All that will still be there. It's not going to go suddenly just disappear. Okay, that's gone. That doesn't disappear, but I will understand that it's mithya because I'm the conscious being, and those things just come and go. And then vyavahara is vyavahara. Yes, if I transgress and that don't pay the bill, there will be a fine and they will turn off the electricity. That does happen. It's not that it won't, but that's at a lower level because I will understand that it doesn't really touch me. It doesn't affect me. So the external world doesn't change like this. Just like if I was in the dream now and I was aware in the dream that it's a dream. Okay, now sometimes we're aware in the dream, oh, it's just a dream. But the dream goes on even though I'm aware it's a dream. It's not now the dream says, okay, I'm going to stop. No, like this. So this way, just because I know something's an appearance doesn't mean it stops appearing like that. It'll still. So this is the thing, is the clarity of it, the shape of the snake of the snake rope stays the same. Just my knowledge is different like this. This is what happens in this way. But I can't get confused about it because I already know. So this is a very important point he gives like this here. So what happens then is that the problem is with the identification like this, that I identify with this one. Yes, this body is limited. Yes, this body is limited. No matter what I can do, I can make it have a certain amount of strength, make it have a certain amount of different abilities, but it will be limited. It can only go so far, so much mileage, and can only last so long. And this mind also can be, you know, stretched in different ways, but it will still be, no matter what, it'll still have some limitation. The upadhi, yes, has limitation. That's going to be like this. But the one who is reflected through the upadhi, works through the upadhi, that's the That's the one who is being talked about. That's why the Viveka here is the important thing. In Vedanta, Viveka is the, you know, the main thing, to learn this subtle discrimination. And can't be, you know, there's can't, the importance of that, that's the most important tool we have, because the Aviveka is what's causing my problems, the lack of discrimination. So once I can, I really know the difference between things, then, you know, then I, that confusion can't be there. So again, it's not to change the body and the mind, of course. You know, keeping my body healthy, it's a good instrument. Keeping the mind sharp and clear, and avoiding things that, you know, that will disturb my clarity of mind to look into. Yes, those are very helpful for necessary tools. But the thing is, they're still, in the end, it's just seeing the differentiation between them. The clearer it is, the less I'm going to get caught up in all the other nonsense. This is what's happening, like this. And then one of the strong habits that we have with this also is, with this ekatvam anupashyataha, I take myself to be something tangible, something perceivable. This is very much ingrained in my mind. Because I feel my body, I think I'm this. My mind, I experience thoughts and everything. So since I identify, I think I'm going to be something like this that can be, you know, put in a box. I'm this much, this much. This is what I am. Because everything that I experience is something that has, you know, some gunas, some shape, some color, some size, all these things. And so I want to grab it in that. So because I'm so used to everything I experience being like this, I take myself to be something like that too, like this. And what happens is, when that idea breaks, some identification I have breaks, then very quickly I hold on to something else, like this. I want to identify with something, because otherwise, what am I? I feel uncomfortable not being in a box like this, not boxing myself in. So I want to be something. And actually, when things get shaken up, you know, a certain thing that I have that I'm very much used to, and that gets shaken up, then that's good time to look into this. Oh, look, I identified with that role so long. You know, I'm a parent, let's say. Now the kids go off to college now. Okay, now I thought that's my whole existence. Now what? You know, in this way. I work at something. Now I lose the job because I have to be home, you know, with this COVID, or I retire or something. Now I have to, what am I? Now I have to identify something else. That, those times are when it's easier to see, oh, that passed. Whatever else I identify, that's going to pass too, like this. And the thing is, to know the other things, yes, I use the mind and the senses in certain ways to know the other things. But here, it can't be done in the same way. That's why here, you know, it's not just the rational mind. Rational mind can work for many other things. Here, rational mind needed, but it can't. It's not the only tool. You know, this subtle viveka is needed because it can only be known in a different way. Because the thing is, other things are known whether through senses or through the mind. Pratyaksha and anumana. Pratyaksha through senses, anumana through mind. But this, what I am, is not that. It's aparoksha. We were just chatting, Shruti and me, before the class, one text. There, aparoksha anubhuti. Because what happens is, you can experience there are things you know through the senses, direct perception, pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means, you know, through senses, sensory perception. So colors and sounds and tastes, etc. Very good. There are certain other things that are paroksha. I don't experience through senses, so I get information about them some other way, right? Like, you know, certain things they talk about, galaxies and things like this, planets in other galaxies that may I think they call exoplanets, one that may be, you know, according to their calculations, are potential for having, you know, the correct conditions for life like we have on Earth, things like this. So I don't see those, but that I get it, information about it. So the things that I can't see directly, you know, atoms, we don't have to go out to space, that, you know, atoms and quarks I can't see, but, you know, they're paroksha, I don't see them, but through the mind, and this can be understood too, yes. But now, what we're talking about with Atma, it's not pratyaksha, you don't get it through sense perception. It's not paroksha. Paroksha is something far out beyond, farther away. Away meaning away from the sense perception, that I can't perceive it through the senses. Because the atom is not something far away, but far away from my sense perception, because I can't perceive it through senses. Like for the blind person, colors and forms are paroksha. You know, they'll wear something and you'll say, oh, how do you like my yellow shirt? No, it's a red shirt. Your yellow shirt's in the closet, right? Because they didn't know. They'll take your word because for them it's paroksha, right? Like this, in this way. Now, but Atma is not pratyaksha. You never can get it through the senses. It's not paroksha. It's not far away. It's right there because you're experiencing it all the time. It's you yourself. So it's aparoksha. Aparoksha really means apratyaksha, aparoksha, means both of them. I just made it simple, you know, a simpler term. But full things will be apratyaksha, paroksha, neither, but aparoksha is the term that's used. Meaning nothing, it's neither of those. Because what happens is, for something that's pratyaksha, you need the senses to experience. That's the means to experience it. Something that's paroksha, you need the mind to experience it. You need something else to point it out to you. Like this. Somebody has to point out to you, this is that. Like for instance, you know, somebody tells us about, you know, they grew up in Iceland. They tell us about something there. We don't see, but we know information about wherever in Iceland because they tell us. Okay, very good. So it's information we hear in the mind of this. We don't see or this, but we know them. But we, meaning for paroksha and pratyaksha, you need, there's a means for knowledge, senses or mind. But to know yourself, you don't need any means. If you don't need your senses to know that you, to aham, and right, I am, and I'm aware, I know, these two things. You do not need senses to show that to you, whether senses are working or not. I know I am, and I know. You don't need your mind to show it to you, because whether the mind is quiet or not, I am and I know. You don't need it. So it's, that's why it's immediate knowledge. Immediate meaning no medium. The other ones need a medium. You need a medium of senses, you need a medium of mind. But this one is immediate, right there, all the time. Nothing, you don't need anything in order to get it. So that's why it's a very different than everything else. And the other tools we have, they can't get there, you know. Swami Chinmayananda, he used to give this wonderful example about this. He would say, when you take a flashlight, it's dark now, you see that it's the rope, right? The flashlight, you can shine everywhere around and see all the objects around. Only one thing, the flashlight can't show you what kind of batteries it has inside behind the light. Everything else it can show you, because it's behind it. So Sakshi, myself as the conscious being, the awareful being behind everything, can be aware of everything, but it can't be aware of itself. And again, to be aware, some means are needed. So senses are needed, the mind is needed, but this one, to be there, it's self-evident. Now what happens is, for this specific thing about the aparoksha jnanam, immediate knowledge, so many other things we have nice examples for. snake and rope, very nice example for, you know, not seeing clear, you know, avidya and partial knowledge and how the knowledge brings that up. You know, the pot and clay to show, you know, there's mithya and satyam. All these, we have very good examples for all these different things. The space and the pot, right? Seemingly limited but not limited, like this. For aparoksha jnanam, we don't have any other example. That's the interesting thing about it, because you can't, there is nothing else like it. What other example is, there's, you know, because I just know, there's no question about it. There's no, we don't have a question that I know and I am. We don't have a question about that. Anything else, I need mind or senses for it. You know, how am I feeling? Some people, they break down a little further. They'll say, how am I feeling? I'm feeling happy, I'm feeling down. That's aparoksha, because it's immediate, but sakshat aparoksha, totally even further aparoksha, is myself as a awareful being. But you can always find gradations. So gradations we don't have to worry about. But what happens is, even how am I feeling, without the mind, you know, how would I know that? When someone in deep sleep, I'm very depressed because of something, but deep sleep, where is that? It's gone. So, and still, you need the mind for it. If I'm very depressed about something, but then I'm eating something very tasty, my attention forgets that for a little while at least. You know, some exciting thing comes, I forget about it for a few moments. So the mind had to be present with that. But through both of those different things, still, that I am and I know is there. So sat and chit are there. So this is very unique thing like this, this aparoksha jnanam. And the interesting thing is, it's there every moment within me, as me, but because of the subtlety, I don't notice it. It gets mixed up with other things. This is what happens. And this whole viveka that's done is in order to, you know, separate, subtle separation of these things through understanding. Because anything mind and senses, that's not going to be it. So you can never put it in front of the camera. I'll tell you a nice example for that. Swami Shivananji, so many photos of his are there. It's amazing how many photos. I was always curious how, you know, it's amazing. So we're very fortunate. Any devotees of his, very fortunate. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of pictures. And it's not somebody that lived till the mid-60s in Rishikesh. At that time, wasn't so easy to get to, and still so many pictures. So it's a great gift like this. So one time, I got this book which has many different photos of Master. You know, we like our Gurudev would call him Master. So then we got used to calling Swami Shivananda his Master. So many pictures of Master. And then what happened is, at the end of the book, there was a picture of one sannyasi, Swami Sharadananda, who was not, you know, at that time already wasn't alive anymore. He was disciple of Swami Shivananda, and he was the photographer. And so many, I've seen hundreds of photographs of Swami Shivananda over so many years. I never knew about this Swamiji. Why? Because he's the one behind the camera. So I never heard about him till then. The one behind the camera then is never in the picture. But the fact that there are pictures means there is somebody there behind the camera. So the fact that I experience means somebody's behind here. That fact is there. So, and the thing is, it's not just the theoretical fact. I know that I'm there behind this. I know I'm there behind the seeing. I know I'm there behind the thinking. I know I'm there, but I get caught up in the small waves of the experience and then get lost in them. And the waves of the experience, if you shut them down, okay, it's a silence. Now I'm aware of the silence. But then I identify with that experience too. So it's out of habit, I identify with the experience and not the sakshi, the one illuminating it. So this is, and at that point, ekatvaman upashyataha is saying, this is actually what happens is, viveka is needed first in order to have the, in order to have sarvatma bhava. Because sarvatma bhava, I can have a feeling I serve everybody, I'm one with everybody, the karma yoga or bhakti way, which is also very helpful and very important. But still, the idea of doership, I'm still somebody here doing. So what happens is the viveka is needed, according to Vedanta. Viveka is there. Enough viveka, you won't see the difference between them. Then the differences will melt away by themselves. This is what happens. Not that I have to go and remove the difference. Because when I see, I say I'm Sakshi, I'm the awareful being that's within the light of awareness, the thoughts come and go, the sounds come and go, experiences come and go. Still, it seems there is some duality. I'm the awareful being, and then I'm aware of these things. But the more one goes into, the more the other ones lose their substance. And then eventually, there is no difference, right? Ishavasam idam sarvam. Because what happens is, they are but kind of like the rays of the sun. The rays of the sun are the sun. It's not something different from the sun. So they are, you know, they are the consciousness itself. But the thing, without viveka, it's hard to see that. So viveka comes first as the first step. And that's like the sadhana. Vedantic sadhana is that. And then sadhya, what is reached is oneness, the sarvatma bhava. With the sun rays, everything we're seeing around, we see light that come from the rays of the sun. This is a very interesting point years ago, as pointed out in the class, is the rays of the sun belong to the sun, not to all the objects, because when the sun is covered by the clouds here, or the earth turns enough, becomes dark, the rays don't stay here, right? The light stays with the sun, they're gone. So it belongs to that. So all that we see is the light of the sun. It all is that light. So what we see is the one light. So everything we experience is but reflection of awareness. It is the consciousness itself. When clear enough that I'm Sakshi, it becomes more, the things melt away into that, it's set. Like this, that one can see. But without viveka, it would be very hard to see that. That's why sadhana as viveka and sadhya, the result is this ekatvam, this oneness, this sarvatma bhava in this way. Or, you know, and it's always been there, as we said, like this. So this is what this person, and one who feels that, where's the question? I'll grieve because, you know, something, the grief will come or worry will come because I identify with the time-bound self, time-bound individual. But when they see it is one ocean of existence, one ocean of consciousness, then that's, you know, it's put into a totally different, level, because, you know, what is there then to, what is there to be worried about then? Like this. So, with this, let's conclude this verse. And then we move to the next one. We'll chant small parts because it's a little bit longer. Sapariyagat Shukramakayam Avranam Asnaviram Shuddham apapavidham Kavirmanishi Paribhu Swayambhu Yatha Tatyataha Arthan Dadhan Shashvatibhyas Samapyaha. Let's chant it one more time, a little bit more in parts. Saparyagachukram Akayamavranam Asnaviram Shuddham Apapavidham Kavirmanishi Paribhu Swayambhu Yatha Tatyathorthan dadhachashvatibhyasamapyaha. This is saying the Atma is all-pervading, bright, bodiless, without wound, without sinews, pure, untouched by sin, wise, omniscient, and self-existent. He duly allotted the various eternal creators their respective functions. So, Adiguru Shankara says what happens is after talking about Atma and about what is this, what is the sthita prajna, the jnani, we'll say, well, what is this that this one has realized? Okay, this one realizes ekatum. What is that? Can you tell that to me? What is the sadhya? You told me sadhanam. You told me sadhaka. Now what is this thing that you're talking about? So up to now, when talking about Atma, talked showing along with upadhi, it can be anejadekam manasojaviyaha, right? Tadejati tanejati, viveka, between, with upadhi, without. What is the one who is, you know, what is the upadhi, what is the consciousness? Now, okay, let's just focus on that thing. There are places like this where here also a lot of them will be this or this, right? Meaning not this, not this. Akayam, not with the body, right? Avranam, not one, but not with subtle body, not with physical body. Because most of the description of Atma will be by negation. Because how are you going to describe, the moment you describe, again, it forms an idea in the mind. And we're trying to really to see what is not limited by the ideas. So most of the descriptions will be that, anityam, right? What is eternal, meaning not limited in time, like this. So in this way it's done. But here again, it's going to be more directly talking on Atma, on Brahman, the consciousness, and not on talking about the upadhis, more focus in this. This is what's going to be, because the person may have this question, how can that be like this? And what happens is, when you talk about explanation of something, meaning I want to explain something, I give you lakshana, some point or something that is a descriptor of that, unique descriptor. So for instance, on Sundays, I go to the farmer's market 8 in the morning, because just down the block here, so I can just walk there. When we actually were looking for a house 7-8 years ago in Fremont, this neighborhood, I said, okay, I want here, because here I can walk to almost anything. I like it. The Indian grocery store is here, Safeway is here, farmer's market, okay, like this. So I walk to the farmer's market. So let's say I go to the apple stand. There's this stand that's there 6 months in the year, organic apples. Oh, you have this type of apple, Fuji's. Yeah, Fuji's, I know. Pink Ladies, I know. Now they have a different kind, Gold Delicious or Gala or something. I said, I haven't had these. What is it like? He'll say, yeah, it's sweet, but not as sweet as the, you know, as the Fuji's. And they're crunchier than this other kind, like this. He'll give some pointers what it is, like this. So a lakshana, something that will help to identify. So when you talk about something, there are two ways to identify it. One is called tatastha lakshana. Tatastha lakshana. So tatastha lakshana is a temporary, or it's a conditional attribute, or conditional indicator. An example that's given, nowadays they're building all these row houses, the new way they're building row houses, right? 2 or 3 stories high, in order to squeeze more houses in one area, like this. So, a few blocks from here, there's a huge mat of them. When we moved, it was just empty ground. Very quickly, like mushrooms, they came up. So you walk there and you say, you're walking with your friend, and he says, you know, I live in these houses here. Really? Which one? You see that bird that's flying, just landed on a house? That's my house. So the bird is sitting on the house, meaning because of its proximity to the bird, it's saying, that's my house. Now the bird might not be there anymore, right? Or your friend may say, yes, we have a tree in front of our house. You're going to go visit him. We have a tree in front where all these houses are the same. Mine is with this big tree that has many red leaves. It's very unique. So you say, very good. Then you couldn't make it. So you come 2 months later and you come and it's fall, so the leaves are gone. So you walk around, you can't find it. So that is only because that only under certain circumstance will be there. The bird came to show you the house, but then it flew away because it has other houses to show other people, right? Like this. So that's one type of indicator. Second one is Swarupa Lakshanam. Is that visible? Not really. Where's the purple one? So Swarupa Lakshanam, you can put Ma at the end or just leave it either way, it's fine. So this one is an inherent one. It's like you'll say, you know, will be many people on Zoom like this, and your friend comes and says, oh, which one is Gajanan there? He's the one with the white sweater. Oh, very good. But then next day will come and I'm going to have my orange vest. Oh, there's nobody with, you know, I don't see anybody with the white one because of that. But you'll say he's the American fellow there, right? He's this fellow, like this. We're in the same place. He's a man. He's you know, 5 foot this tall. He's kind of skinny. You know, he always looks like he lost weight, like this. Then that'll be Swarupa Lakshana. That's like this one. a lot of people, when they see me once in a while, they say, oh, you look like you lost weight. I say, I always look like I lost weight. What can I do? like this. So in any case, so some things are inherent. And so here, in this one, we'll talk a lot about the Swarupa Lakshanam, Satchidananda, Swarupa Lakshanam. Pure existence, it's the Swarupa. It's not, right, Chit, pure consciousness, you know. Ananta, Ananda can mean Ananta, not limited. So things like this, they're what the thing is, and that thing itself, not comparison. Because like something in comparison, then, that something next to it is indicating, like this. Something in proximity is indicating, then it's going to be helping to point it out, but just under certain conditions, right? The white sweater compared to orange vest is just certain condition, certain time. But, you know, this tall and this age and this, that's, you know, that's always there like this. That's the same person. So this, so here then, Tatastha Lakshana was talked about more before. Tadejati, Tanejati seems to move but doesn't move this. But then talking about the actual, what is the Swarupa, the actual thing, what this Atma is, that is also looked into. And in this verse, we'll talk about it for, you know, to a certain extent also, it's talked about. So in any case, so the first description given here is Pariagat. Pariagat meaning all-pervading, goes one that's everywhere, like this. So this is one Swarupa, because that doesn't depend on something, right? It's everywhere. They like to say akashavat, meaning like the space. Space is a very nice example for it. In the manifest physical world, it's something that we can say it, one of the best examples to show something similar, because it's all-pervading. Now, being all-pervading, there are different ways of being all-pervading. One way is the heat in an iron ball, right? You go to the blacksmith, they take this iron ball, they put it in the fire. When they take it out with some instrument because it's red hot, right? They can't touch it. So the heat permeates everywhere within the iron ball. But in this case, the iron and the heat are two separate things that you know the difference between them. It's in and through the iron, but the iron isn't the heat, right? The iron is in through the heat, but then, you know, they put it aside or they put it in water, steam comes out and they let it sit for a bit and then it gets cool. So the iron pervades, but is something separate, not something inherent to the iron there. So that's not the kind of all pervasiveness that we'd say. The pervasiveness would be very much like the water in the waves, because pervades everything, but it's in and through everything. Swami Shivanai writes the warp and the woof, and there's actually a certain place in I think it was in some text recently I saw where it is. I forget the Sanskrit term. It's similar to Hindi also, where this thing, what it weaves it all together, what it's made out of. This is the upadana karanam, the material cause. But also, not just the upadana karanam, as we know, is the material cause, but it's the vivarana upadana karanam, meaning the apparent cause, because just like the dream, you are the apparent cause for everything, but you didn't really change, you didn't go anywhere, do anything, but you were in and through everything, the dream. The consciousness is the one thing that's in and through everything, but it doesn't really change because different level of reality. From the consciousness perspective, it's an apparent reality, this one, like this. So this is in this way, it's like the space in and through everything, but it's not. It's like the clay in and through all the pots, like the gold in and through all the ornaments, like this. So it's material, but also it doesn't change. Other things seem to change. They change within their level, but from that perspective, that level, it's not going to change. So this is one of the lakshanas, like this, all-pervading. And if you think about it also, in all my experiences, I'm in and through every experience I have, like this. There's no experience that I'm not in and through everything. And if you think of it, myself as a conscious being, I think we pointed this out before, but all these things can be looked at time and again. My dream, when I think of, I was in and through everything there. The same one in and through everything. Right? Every thought, every experience there, I was in and through it. And I came out unscathed with all the things there because nothing really happened. So really it's just I'm in and through. That there's the duality depends there on the non-duality, just one me in and through everything. Now, when I think of everything in my past, my memory, it's only me, only my mind, only me through. I remember, you know, we have a class, a long discussion. When I remember it, it's only me now. Now it's solo, right? Now, it's all just like the dream, just my mind, so it's one in and through everything. I think of my future, project future, still my mind. So if it's not this present moment, then it depends just on my mind. So it's one in and through everything. Only thing left then is this moment, right? This moment is the only time where I can argue, okay, it's not just one unchanging through everything, because everything else is just a, you know, recollection, memory. So it's one in and through everything. This moment that I'm experiencing, what am I experiencing this moment? If I look, I experience my body maybe. I experience maybe some thoughts, some emotions. I experience some things outside. But really, I'm in and through everything in the experience. I as the conscious being, I'm in and through. So it's all, it's kind of like I'm the movie screen that all the things are projected on. I'm not just this, I think of it as this individual sitting here seeing all that. But if you see from this perspective, I'm the awareness in and through everything that I'm experiencing this moment. Like this. And so I'm in and through everything. How could I not be in and through everything? Because it's within the field of my awareness. On the screen of my awareness is this moment's experience. What I do, I use my mind to break it up, subject and object, far and near, and all this, into this, but direct experience. This moment, I'm aware, and all these things are appearing within my awareness. So it's really all based on my self, the awareness, awareful being, even this very moment, like this. So, I'll say no, but before it was like this and it came to you. Well, now, if you base anything on memory, on past or projection future, that part you can't take as part of this analysis because that you already know it's just you in there. So, but this very moment, like this. So in this way, one other way to say like this, how, yes, there's I'm in it or everything. So where's the limitation? There's no, I'm all pervading because my experience of the world is, it's an experiential world. Loka, right? And what is that experience? It's me and some ideas that are manifest, come and go within me, the awareness, like this. So I'm pervading every single, dot of my experience, any little thing within my experience, I'm pervading that. It can't be within my experience without my being there. So I pervade my whole world of experience, like this. So this is the how Pariyagat, how I as Atma am all pervading, like this. So, and just like the light in the screen in the movie is pervading all the scenes, the screen in the movie doesn't have to grow. They have Star Wars, so it doesn't have to grow to be, a thousand light years across. It doesn't have to, it's all projected on it. So there's all the experience is projected on me, the awareness. So because that projection is, the movie is mithya, the projection on me is mithya. So it's not that as the awareful being, now I have to grow to be all these galaxies and this, so I have to, but it's projected on me. So I'm in and through every part of the projection like this. So then, the first point he gives here, I'm so used to the text, we're using Shankara or this, so I say he, but here's Shruti Mata saying, the Upanishad is saying this. First point is that the Atma, Brahman, is Pariyagat, all-pervading. So it'll pervade this class, and it'll pervade the class next week too. So let's conclude for today. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.